Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello guys, welcome back to Goes Without Saying. I'm Seffi, I'm with Wing. We're here today to talk about slut phases, slut shaming, rape culture, performative empowerment, all of the things that we love, love, love to discuss on this show. I don't like calling it a show, this podcast.
Stunning, 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 stunning. It's actually been a stunning episode. I'm really excited for you to listen and stay tuned until the end because we have a fun doing the work for this week.
It's really good this week. I'm actually fucking buzzed.
Buzzing. So listen to the end to catch what your little mission is and we're all going to be doing the work. Okay, have you been doing the work?
I wanted to get in there first this time at least, but no. Yes, I've been doing the work. We had to live in the way that we wanted to live, make decisions based on what we wanted in that true moment rather than thinking, fuck, okay, like I've got to wake up early this morning. Okay, when I wake up,
do something purely self-serving
for you. So mine all revolves around scrambled tofu. That is how I've been living my authentic life. I have been eating, so...
That's stunning.
I've been obsessed with fucking scrambled tofu. I have honestly had it for breakfast, lunch and dinner for about 7 days straight.
Jesus, maybe that's a bit much.
Also, I would say that's untrue, but I have been having it...
Oh, you're doing the work.
I'm doing the most. Maybe not every meal, breakfast, lunch and dinner, but I've been having... I think I've had scrambled tofu involved in my meals more often than I haven't had it in my meals.
To be honest, who can't relate to that?
No one can relate to that.
You're having the slut phase with the scrambled tofu. You're going through your scrambled tofu slut phase.
I really am. I think I, because I'm kind of like, okay, well, I won't have scrambled tofu tonight. It's like, no, fuck off. You want scrambled tofu in your meal.
If you want it.
So you're going to have it tonight. Today, morning, midday, afternoon, evening.
Let's cut the crap. Mm. Let's not pretend that we want something else. Spare me.
Let's not cook a little bit of pasta. You want scrambled tofu, so you will have scrambled tofu. That's been my doing the work. Actually, what do you actually want to eat? Oh, look again, it's scrambled tofu. We happen to have some tofu in the fridge. Chop that up.
Scramble it up.
So that's my doing the work.
I love that.
Does it count? I don't know.
Absolutely counts. We decide if it counts. I'm saying it counts. Are you?
It counts. I was thinking as I eat my scrambled tofu, you really are living an authentic life these days.
God, you're authentic.
And you can't deny it.
God, I can't wait to talk about this on my podcast.
What about you?
My doing the work was quite by accident. Okay, literally 2 minutes later and my dog's decided that he doesn't want to be here. He was sat so peacefully on my lap.
He was like, I didn't realise it was about scrambled tofu. I thought it was about a slut phase.
Yeah, he thought he was getting some slut action.
He was like, wait, you're talking about food? No. This is not why I signed up for
it. He's like, doing the work. This isn't for me.
This is boring.
I'm a sleep all day, sleep all night kind of guy. Right, one sec.
Go on then. Abandon me.
That was a real Pisces moon thing for me to say.
Abandon me. I thought, God, it's not going
abandon
well.
Abandon me like everybody else, really unhealthy. Like, please do not bring a child into this world.
It's so true.
Go on then, abandon me, aka go downstairs and eat.
And live your life.
Yeah. My doing the work this week, I thought the other day, fuck, I haven't been doing the work. And then I thought, of course you have been doing the work. You're always doing the work.
Always.
The work never stops being doing.
Not a day goes by.
This week, my little homework that I did was quite accidental in that I turned off my Instagram notifications, but I almost didn't realize that I did that. So I mean, I really reaped the benefit. Look, I have no idea what you guys were saying to us all week because I haven't been here. But it actually was really nice not to feel the absence of this space, but more so just to get kind of top secret. I turn on post notifications a lot from the Seffi and Wing account so that I can keep up with, I can make sure that our account is keeping up with people that we want to keep up with.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just a bit much. I don't need a notification saying, being kind of Emma Chamberlain has posted.
I need that notification. I need that notification in my life.
It's just kind of like, I'll see it, I'll get around to it when I choose to open the app. We always speak about phones in the sense that what else has such a direct path to your consciousness? Nothing.
It's so true. Also, I think with running this, sometimes it gets quite confusing, like your own identity within a person inside your own body, and then your identity of people saying, you guys are so empowered, and it's this little caricatured feminist version of yourself.
And we're like, wait, but I've been just sitting around eating scrambled tofu all day.
God, I'm on my third meal of scrambled tofu of the day. I'm literally turning into a bit of tofu. Am I so empowered? I don't know. I think it's good. It's healthy for us to take breaks. Like we started a new thing where we take days off.
Mm.
We both get a day off a week and blah, 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 which we've actually been really shit at recently.
We're actually really bad at that. Yeah. Although, as I say, I've kind of been accidentally off. So,
I mean, you deserve, as it goes without saying.
We'll owe you some times in lieu. So that was my doing the work. It was actually really, because now my notifications are back on. Nobody panic.
She's back in the game.
I'm well informed into what's going on. And I feel happier to be here, not like in this space, but just on Instagram and online in general.
On this earth.
Yeah, I feel refreshed.
Oh, I love that. That's so great.
And I also think with the online stuff, I remember putting up on the story, I always put on the story, like, leave. Like, you're tapping through stories, stop.
Do not follow this.
Yeah, go away.
Yeah.
And I remember someone replied, a few people have said something similar, but I remember this one specifically because it was quite aggressive. And they were like, I hate when you say this, but only because I know I need to hear it. And it's like hard for me to listen and get off of mm-hmm. Instagram and get off the internet. So if you need that reminder, this is it.
Yeah, get out into the world. I think it's so true, because do you ever do that thing? And I know you do this thing because everyone fucking does this thing where you are scrolling through Instagram, you're like, when did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
When did I get here? How have I been here? How long have I been here?
Yeah.
When did I click on the little app? How long have I been in this space? What have I consumed? The muscle memory of clicking on apps is so toxic.
I'll do this thing where I'll be like, oh, I need to go on Instagram and check. Let me just look up that thing. Like, kind of let me research for a second. I go on, I'm scrolling, and I think, wait.
Mm.
I came on here 10 minutes ago to look for something. And then as soon as I get off the app and I start doing whatever I was doing, I was like, wait, no, I was supposed to look into something. And my day is kind of 15 minutes behind.
Suddenly you're down a deep, deep hole of something when you actually went on to look at Princess Diana, the woman that plays Princess Diana in The Crown, Emma Corrin.
Oh, she's all over my explore page at the moment. What about you?
Everywhere to be seen. Yeah, I can't get away from her because I looked at her once and now I can't stop looking.
My thing is still full of Taylor Swift because I clicked on her once and then I just kept clicking. It's like, yeah, maybe I do just want to see Taylor Swift. I keep clicking on it for some reason, so maybe I am curious. I don't know.
How could you not be? But that's why it's important to get into the world and out of your phone.
Consider the work done. Slut phases.
Yep.
I wanted to start with this message, this little gold dust of information that someone sent us, a beautiful message responding to the stories. As always, we put out questions, we put out polls, we put out info, and you guys feedback with your insight and your opinions on said topic. This week it's slut phases and slutting and slut as a word in general. This person said, slut and slut phase, it fails to recognize that hypersexuality isn't always done from a positive place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe this is where we should kick off.
This is the crux of our issues with the terminology, the kind of slut culture vibe.
Mm.
And kind of, I assume we're going to lead into kind of the idea of performative empowerment.
Yeah.
It's something we talk about a lot. It's like a concept that we think is really important. The idea of...
We think it's genius if we do say so ourselves.
I think it's... The world really needs to hear this. That sometimes your empowerment of, oh my God, I'm going out, I've had sex with all these people, blah, 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 is often more a performance for the male gaze, a performance for the patriarchy, rather than an innate empowerment that you genuinely feel within your bones. Mm. And it might be a learned behavior that actually benefits men more than it benefits you.
Yeah. And I think even in like not in heteronormative situations where a girl is not having sex with other men and is engaging in a slut phase with whoever she may please, it still is actually more about you as the individual in that moment. Because I think a lot of us are having our slut phase, quote unquote, and actually feeling quite miserable and quite vulnerable and quite sensitive and quite a lot of discomfort in ourselves.
Yeah.
At that time. And I think the problem with slut phase and kind of mindlessly promoting that and confusing it with sex positivity is that it masks over and conceals a multitude of problems and a multitude of insecurities within yourself, because you're presenting something as like the ultimate empowerment, but actually it might actually be your demise.
Your doom, you're meeting your doom. I think it's so important though, because the discourse is definitely confused with sex positivity. So for example, kind of, I feel like the word slut is very interwoven with like youth culture, the idea of a young woman, a young, potentially naive woman.
For the Brits, slag is also acceptable.
A slag, a slut, a hoe, a whore.
Yeah.
All these words that kind of mean the same thing. They mean a promiscuous woman. There have been many words throughout history of these.
A Jezebel.
A Jezebel, yeah.
I was always called a Jezebel growing up.
Were you?
By my nan, I should say.
Why would she
like,
call
as a
you?
Child, I kind of would run around like a bit naked maybe, and she would say, oh, you're a Jezebel.
So strange.
I think it's quite sweet. Jezebel.
Yeah, that is cute. It's quite a nice name. It's almost like Isabel.
It's quite a nice word. Yeah, that's kind of the problem. Exactly. A Jezebel.
Like, I would kind of totally call my child Jezebel.
Yeah, I wouldn't be identifying so much as a slut, but I would say that I'm a bit of a Jezebel. But I would, because I've been told that
by your grandma.
I was about 4 years old, by my beautiful grandmother, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Long may she reign.
But yeah, I think it's very much associated with youth, in that it would feel quite strange for like a 50-year-old woman who, for example, say, has just gone through a beautiful, beautiful divorce and is finding herself sexual liberation, finding that once again, finding what she wants. It would feel kind of out of the norm, out of like what is socially acceptable, to be like, that woman is a slut, to a 50-year-old woman almost. I think it really applies to like... It's definitely an idea that's like with young women, it's almost a way to demean sexual experience, sexual kind of curiosity, but also 100% older women in the media are 100% going to be called sluts by the Daily Mail.
Yeah, but I also think younger women are called sluts in the sense that we find women most attractive, as you say, from when they're 16 years old. Society thinks that a woman in her prime is kind of 17. And so I think it's not that the behaviour of an older woman is any different. And it's also, I would like to say, that the young kids that are called sluts, their behaviour isn't there.
Yeah.
Right? So we don't obviously call people sluts as a reflection necessarily of their behaviour. The name can just come as a way to put a woman down. But I think we call young women sluts because women are kind of over the age of 40, need to be kind of prudish mothers.
Yeah, is the Madonna whore.
And that's the only role that's acceptable. Exactly. It's complete Madonna whore complex. You can't be anything else other than a virginous, pure, maternal being, or a complete slut with your tits out.
It's the idea that there are three stages of women. And I do believe they use this rhetoric in Game of Thrones, where they say like maiden, mother, crone.
Yeah.
Where it's like you go from being, you're kind of the maiden, the youthful, desirable woman who kind of is like a virginal woman. Then you move into the mother category, which I mean, we obviously know what that is. That's kind of your midlife, and then you're kind of you're in that box. And then you move into crone, is like that language that is, I don't know what this is from, kind of like the Odyssey, where it's like you would move into the old woman, the kind of menopausal woman, and then you die. And it's like, actually, we do not have stages of that for men in that same way.
And actually, a lot of the comments that you guys said, someone said, well, lots of people saying something along the lines of, men are just called men. Men who have sex are just called men.
They're called a lad.
Women who have sex have to be called a slut. Yeah, they have to be kind of a porn star whilst doing it.
That's the thing, and that's why it's rooted in performance. This is why the empowerment often is sold to women as, oh my God, you'll be so empowered if you do this.
Well, I also think, like, is the sex you're having in your slut phase any good? Because I doubt it.
This is the thing. This is the crucial thing.
I find it hard to believe, although I don't know if you saw this, Effie. I've been really into reels. You can tell I'm not a TikToker, but I really got into reels.
I'm loyal to my TikTokers.
I know, but I think they're gonna die. I think your TikTokers are in the grave.
I know, I can't cope.
But I saw this reel. I'll put it on the story or whatever, but I'm paraphrasing it. It's something along the lines of this girl probably dancing, I can't really remember, and she said something along the lines of, when I was younger, I really believed that women were lying when they said they enjoyed sex with men. And then I realized I was gay. And I was like, fuck, am I gay? Like, I literally don't believe for a second that literally 99% of women that are having sex with men are enjoying it. Call me crazy. Call me kind of jaded or bitter.
No, call you intelligent.
But I find it very hard to believe.
It's so fucking true, because think about all the girls that you've spoken to, all the girls that write into our polls, all of this stuff, all the conversations you've ever had, all the media you've ever consumed in your life. Who is benefiting from that sex more? It's the classic game we played in our feminist sex episode. Who's getting more out of the sex? More often than not, it's the man. And I'm not even talking about did you come, did they come. I'm talking about the societal impact of a man and a woman having sex. Who got more out of it? Listen to that episode to find out.
And that's why I think that reel was so fascinating, because it's like, yeah, that's why. We've had a lot of messages as well. I remember someone specifically saying, like, I've wondered a lot about my sexuality because I find a level of discomfort in sex with men, with the power balance and the kind of the stereotypes that creates, not just in their own experiences, but in porn too. They were drawn to like lesbian porn because men in porn, I mean, Teffy and I have spoken about this before, men in porn are disgusting, kind of Tony Hawk lookalikes, I think we said last time.
Every single man in porn has frosted tips. Every single girl kind of, I mean, I don't want to offend anyone that looks like this too,
has frosted tips, fingernails, she has French tips, although French tips have made a comeback. But
that's why I didn't want to say French tips, because I actually would quite love to get some French tips right now.
How much of a slut are you if you're kind of just sat around kind of making really dramatic Hollywood porn star noises and having a terrible time thinking about when you're next going to sit down to have some scrambled tofu?
So true.
Like, you're not enjoying yourself, so who really is the slut phase for? Unless, I think, interesting then, a slut phase, let's have a case study, hypothetical. Young lesbian woman is having her slut phase and she declares it publicly. I'm having a slut phase, and she's going about having sex with kind of different women that she meets, etc., etc., safely under COVID restricted guidelines. Is that still a performance for the male gaze? I would say yes.
Well, I think there's an element that can be empowering in that I want to explore my sexuality. I want to go out, have sex with a number of people, and I want to report back on my findings to myself, and I want to understand myself. I think, yeah, sure, there is an element.
That sounds great.
It sounds absolutely wonderful. I'm so happy for you. Give me your notebook with your journal with all your findings. But is that, it was our homework for this week. It's, was that authentic for you, or was that what you were told a single girl in their 20s should be doing? And I think people don't really interrogate the reason behind the actions as much as they perhaps should with that.
I completely agree. Someone actually said, let me read it word for word. I overcompensated for a lack of freedom in my past relationship and slept with some mediocre guys. And I think this is what we're saying, is question why you're doing what you're doing, and actually embracing the slut phase as a concept and as a discourse quite kind of unconscientiously will allow some real scrappy dudes to seep in through the cracks. You're gonna, if you open up your filter, you're gonna let in a lot of shit.
I think we underestimate at what level of clarity and like stable mental health, and kind of, we always talk about like having a wide tightrope, how wide your tightrope must be to be having lots of sex with people. I think you can easily disguise kind of a batch of like low self-esteem and kind of allowing a lot of scrappy dappy dudes to have sex with you, allowing them into your bed, with a slut phase, with, oh my god, I'm so empowered, I'm going through a thing right now which is so fun. It's like, actually, are you having fun?
Because absolutely, that is a thing, to be empowered and to be having a lot of really good sex where you are kind of having the time of your life. Obviously, that's a thing. Goes without saying, frankly.
Goes without saying that sex is great, sex is empowering, sex for women is especially, should be an empowering thing. We're discussing the discourse of a slut phase and how it's often used.
Does that even need to go in?
Yeah. No, it does. This is your podcast.
And yours.
Quite funny to listen to this pep talk.
This is your podcast.
This is your fucking podcast, bitch. Now edit the fuck out of this. You're amazing.
That's hilarious. Maybe we should leave that in. This is your podcast. Okay, so we're saying we are two sex positive individuals, blah, blah, blah. We don't want people that think basically here's the crux of it. I CBA for us to do this, and we're critiquing the culture.
I mean, it's not coming from a place of judgment. I'm not looking at you from my high horse.
And we get things saying, I had a slut phase.
Exactly.
I had a slut phase and it was empowering for me. We know. We love that.
We love to hear it. But I also think we're trying to be honest, we're just trying to discuss, and you're here listening, so this is on you. But we are trying to discuss the relationship relationship between sex and the patriarchy and sex and an individual's mental health. Sex is so massive in society, and I think so massive for most individuals. So we're going macro and micro, what, in the space of an hour conversation with my best friend who already knows my thoughts. So really, this all does go without saying.
Just basically assume the best of us and we'll fill in some little gaps. Just don't assume the worst and we're trying to win you over. I can't be asked.
Exactly. Because I completely agree that sex should be encouraged for young women in whatever form it may take. Absolutely.
I will egg you on until the cows come home, but yeah, not with a scrappy dappy do and not as a performance.
Yeah.
Here's a good point that someone said. They said the phrase a slut phase, that was quite difficult to say, it shames women into believing that they should limit their sexual activity, which is ultimately because men like virgins and view women as objects to fulfill their desires. And I think that succinctly puts it into a nice thing.
Basically says our point better than we do.
It really does. It's like, actually, the idea that we should have kind of, that's the problem when you ask people to write things and then we try and articulate them. It's like, we should just read them.
This should be a blog.
Maybe we should have just done a blog.
We should have just started a fucking blog.
We should have just written a book. It's been a moment of silence there for everyone. What could they be referring to?
That does sound good.
The idea that men should be able to kind of freely be it's attractive for a man to have slept with upwards of 10 women perhaps, but a woman kind of, you should have your limit around 10, that society says you should have your limit, you should definitely like explore things, get good at sex, know what you like, blah blah blah, maybe have a tiny little lesbian phase, but don't be a lesbian,
be a bit of fun, don't be fucking frigid. Whatever you're doing, keep it hot.
Keep it hot, keep it performative, pretend to be empowered.
But also have the potential to be the mother of my child. I'm not going to be embarrassed of you.
But also don't be a slut, crucially. Have a slut phase, but don't be a slut. Have kind of a weird sort of summer where you sleep with kind of three whole men in one summer. Maybe kiss a girl. And then you come back to your marriage and you have children and you turn into a mother and a wife.
Absolute bars.
That's exactly what the patriarchy's wet dream is. So I think they're definitely, a slut phase is limiting women within itself, of like, you have a little mad phase, but you do return to Gabriella from High School Musical. You're Sharpay for the summer, then you come back to being Gabriella.
Your sexuality is a 6-month thing max before your reputation precedes you, and no one's going to want to marry you, and you'll be a little Miss Havisham listening to our podcast locked away because no one picked you, no one chose you.
The patriarchy's nightmare is people that listen to this, I think.
Great. But it's mutual.
Yeah. It's, the patriarchy is my worst nightmare, to be honest.
Patriarchy, meet your
meet your maker.
What are the dangers then of having your sexuality last 3 months? I think the danger is none of it's good. You miss out on a whole lot of opportunity.
The danger is that you've watched a bit of porn,
which was awful.
You've sort of been fucked by some mediocre scrappy-dappy-do, and you think that you've had a phase of empowerment. You come away from that thinking, wow, I've really like explored what I want, blah, blah, blah. Realistically, a phase is not enough to know anything.
Mm-hmm.
A phase isn't anything. And you come away from that walking away thinking that you're empowered, when actually you've, and you then settle for your scrappy husband, when in reality, there's a whole world of stuff that you can find out about yourself, and you've kind of followed the most societally acceptable male gaze version of empowerment and think you're a genius for it.
Guys, hold your horses. I'm gonna stop you there. We have a sponsor for this episode.
We do.
It's V-Gums.
Woo!
I am so ready for our nails to be thriving, our hair to be thriving, our skin to be glowing,
to become the healthiest, most empowered versions of ourselves. And it's vegan.
So stunning. We worked with V-Gums before and we were raving before. Remember about how much we loved their gummies? You know, Steffi knows my struggle when it comes to searching high and fucking low for good vitamins that I can swallow that will give me everything that I need, because I absolutely hate the taste and the texture and the powderiness of the really old school traditional vitamins that you get in a really horrific kind of bottle that was sat on an old kind of cupboard somewhere for 10 years before you bought it. V-Gums couldn't be more different. They are an amazing sustainable brand. Plastic free, recyclable, vegan, completely vegan and cruelty free. And now it's not just the vegan multivitamin that we are so excited to be using. We've upgraded.
We are so excited about the omega-3 fish gluten-free gummy. I remember being a kind of five-year-old little vegetarian girl and my mum force-feeding me, like, fish oils. And I used to cry about those little fish.
That's quite a traumatic experience.
I used to cry about those fish and now I don't need to because we've got omega-3 gummies. We're going to be geniuses. Can you imagine how smart we're going to be?
Oh my, you're not fucking ready.
You are not ready.
They're honestly not ready.
We've been taking two a day. We just had some now together with breakfast.
We really did. It was quite the ritual.
We literally sat down and ate some gummies together. And oh boy, are we going to be smart. And oh boy, are they delicious.
So we've been using the multivitamin vegan gummies and also the iron and, as Steffi said, the fish-free omega-3 gummies. That, to me, gives me everything I could have needed and more. And so, honestly, I really recommend if you've been looking for vitamins, because I feel like it's actually a real struggle. I get emotional about this.
Yeah, same. So emotional. And also, Christmas is coming up. If you are looking for the perfect vegan Christmas present, give your friend the gift of health with vegans. That is not their slogan.
I would honestly be so happy if I got vegums for Christmas, and I kind of feel like I have.
Yeah, when they knocked on the door, I mean, when the postman knocked on the door, not vegums, I went running down.
Yours were hand-delivered. Wow. The CEO of vegums came to your door. So you can buy now their Christmas bundle, which is a one-off purchase, and you can also get any of the gummies that we've just mentioned with a 20% off discount code, which is SEFIWING20. We'll have it linked in the bio of this episode, and that's valid until March 2021.
I think we spoke before about people having sex, or girls specifically having sex, and I think girls will do this with girls too. I think it's just something that we're kind of indoctrinated into you so that from a young age, so that as soon as you start having sexual experiences, it's quite innate and it's quite an intrinsic reaction to have sex as if there are cameras on you.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are preoccupied with their performance and not their sexual performance. You're having sex being more focused on, yeah, the observer, whether they're there or not.
You've kind of got your back arched, you've got it all perfect. Meanwhile, they're fucking hunched like a fucking hunchback of Notre Dame.
They look like a pig. Tony Hawk pig looking motherfucker.
Tony Hawk scrawny scrawny pig. And you're there.
And you're there stunning as ever.
Lovely little delicate moan that you perfected.
Don't piss me off.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I mean, this is my problem with it all, because actually, was it empowering for you, or were you, did you feel empowered from that man validating you via his penis?
Yeah.
And I think that's fine. I think you can be validated from sex. I think sex is validating. Sex is a great thing. But are you doing it for the imaginary cameras, or are you doing it from an innate sense of loving yourself and being like, I want to give myself the best sex, the best opportunities, the best experiences possible in this earth, in my one life? Or are you like, well, I'm about 21 now, tick, 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 clock's ticking, time for my slut phase. Before then, I'm 25 and I want to settle down with my husband. What are you actually doing? Who are you performing for? That cut the cameras, dead ass.
Well, I also just think it's just like, are you having fun? Are you having fun? If yes, fine. But I think forget the whole patriarchy stuff. Even forget that massive thing. Forget this is a societal issue. And I actually just think so many individuals are far too sensitive or much more vulnerable,
not stable enough,
yeah, then they make out. It's like you haven't given yourself a chance.
Yeah, you can confuse your desperation with an act of empowerment.
And be careful, because you might end up marrying this fucking loser.
And to be honest, it's quite likely that you will, looking around.
Yeah.
Looking around this town, it looks like a lot of people are marrying the first person they ever had sex with, the first old scrappy dick they came across.
So true. And you cling. I also think this is kind of a different topic, but bonding through trauma with somebody is a dangerous game. And I think people, feel very chosen, feel like they've been chosen by somebody, and cling, like fucking cling film, cling to the living daylights out of somebody.
Clinging to the Titanic, and you are going down, down, down. That iceberg has hit.
And you're going down.
And you don't even see it yet. Get the violins out. You're going down.
Get the violins out, and don't you dare stop. That's kind of us. That's kind of the metaphor, at the end of the Titanic, they're keep playing their songs whilst the ship is sinking. That's kind of us making this podcast whilst the world is crumbling around us.
The ship is very much sinking/sunk.
This is fine. Everything's on fire.
And we're like, guys, feel empowered in your slut face.
Somebody said, and I loved this, embedded in the word slut is the idea of freely letting men have sex with you.
Oh my God, I love it.
It's almost like...
you're passive, leg spread.
We could convince ourselves, that this is an empowered, conscious action from you to have your slut phase, but actually, is it a passive experience of you accepting the title of slut and just becoming the self-fulfilling prophecy? Yeah, lie back and think of England.
I wonder, I don't know. I think the label of slut, as in, of course, actually having a quote-unquote slut phase, there is so much room for empowerment.
Goes without saying.
I'm not prefacing every point.
No.
Goes without saying. I just literally see BA for DMs being like, excuse me?
I'm empowered. I believe that you are. Me fucking too.
Yes, that is fine. We believe.
We believe.
I believe
it.
But I think, definitely the connotations of the word slut. I mean, if you actually break down the, like, sort of, if we did a mind map, we're in an English literature kind of GCSE class, we do a mind map of the word slut. It's kind of like dirty,
not pure,
unpure, kind of all these words that are dated and disgusting and make women feel shit about themselves. I think there definitely is an idea of like passivity in being a slut. The girl at school that was like behind the bike sheds letting herself get fucked, rather than a girl that is like actively pursuing her own desire. I think there is definitely an idea of like the girl that's been fucked by half the school.
Being fucked.
It's not the idea of the queen bee of the school who has chosen out specific boys.
Yeah. Essentially, it's the classic, you're just getting wanked into.
Yeah, you're a hole.
They're just using you to have a wank.
God.
If I said, like, oh, Steffi's like such a slut, that'd be so weird of me.
I remember this. This is just triggered a whole memory. Oh my God.
Okay, go.
So, oh my God, this is just such a great memory.
It sounds like quite a bad memory,
something. No, it's not. Okay. Because I was such a pure little girl at school, very virginal presence. Basically, all my friends had lost their virginity at school, and I definitely did not. I was quite strict with the fact that I wasn't going to have sex with anyone at school, because they were TBH a bunch of scraps, but
losers. Yeah,
but no shade to the boys at my school, you were all really nice. I did fancy a few of you, not gonna lie.
I even know some of you by name,
not gonna lie. I did fancy a couple of you, I'd say. No. I fancied his friend.
Oh, what about
he was at uni.
Oh fuck. Okay, what about, oh fuck, there's one more that I'm...
this is all getting beeped out.
Yeah. Oh fuck. Oh fuck, I do know it. That's the problem. I know it. It's like... there we go.
Thing is, none of this can go in.
No.
But yeah, I did fancy a few of you, not gonna lie. But I was very much a virginal presence throughout school.
Yeah.
And I remember there was a fancy dress party once. Anyone that's listening, I mean, you'll know the fancy dress party was the party of the century. We were all planning our outfits for months in advance. Actually hilarious if you listen to this, hey. I ended up going as Tinkerbell, and it was actually an incredibly short dress. I should not have worn this. It was a real tiny little triangle covering my vagina.
Vulva out moment.
But I wanted to go as Katy Perry in the California Girls music video with the cream pie boobs.
Oh, stunning. Just being divorced, going out on stage crying her eyes out.
Yeah, Russell Brand's just divorced me.
The iconic moment.
Couldn't be more stunning. And I was thinking, this is the look for me. I've got the fringe, I've got the look, it's stunning. And there was a big girls group chat of like all the girls that were going, like loads of us.
Sorry, is that why you've got a fringe? It's just left over from that party that you one time dressed up as Tinkerbell. You did it once, you committed to the look.
And I thought, well, I wanted to go as Katy Perry and I've cut the fringe now, so I guess I can't go back. No, I thought, okay, I can play on my existing look with a Katy Perry nod.
Stunning.
Big girl group. And I said, I kind of was like, I think we were probably about 14 or something. Was quite young to be going as little crazy Katy Perry. And I was like cream pie boobs. My parents must have been quite worried.
Yeah, yeah.
I wrote on the thing, guys, I want to go as Katy Perry, but I don't want to look like a slut. And this girl had replied, who was kind of one of the cool girls who was a bit scary, replied being like, don't worry, you could never look like a slut. And I remember being heartbroken.
She fucked you up.
And I thought,
she
oh my god,
game for you.
You could never.
That is hysterical.
But yeah, I remember saying to my friends, guys, why couldn't I look like a slut? Like, I'm really annoyed. Why can't I look like a slut? Like, that's rude, isn't it? And they were all like, no, that's so nice of her. And I was like, don't fucking lie.
No,
we all want to look like a slut at a fancy dress party. And I can't, why can't I look like a slut?
Even if you wanted to.
Like, don't worry. No, you could never look like a slut. I was like, what the fuck are you trying to say, bitch?
That is hilarious.
I know. So that triggered my memory of if someone had ever called me a slut, because I don't think I've ever been called a slut. So that some reason everyone thought I couldn't dress up as Katy Perry. What about you? Did everyone think you were a little slut?
I've probably been called a slag, but not really. No, I didn't really have a slaggish reputation because I was just kind of, I wasn't kind of romantically linked to a lot of boys. I had the same thing as you of kind of, these boys are disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't very impressed. But I definitely, I think, as you say, popular group, you look a certain way, you get called.
You're called a slut if you wear makeup.
You're called a slut if you're kind of quite fuckable at 14 yeah. in the paedophilic society that we have.
If you walk around with a certain vibe of confidence, a certain, like, a knowingness of your own sexuality, I think then you're called a slut. It's not even really about your your actual sexual history. I mean, a lot of it is about your sexual history, but I think a lot of it is about how threatening you are to men.
I also think, yeah, I'm quite, maybe not, but I think growing up, I was definitely not openly sexual, but I've always been comfortable with sexuality and comfortable with, like, I grew up really talking about sex with my mum quite casually, like, and I told her when my first sexual encounters and stuff, I told her.
Oh, wow.
And I told her when I first had sex, actually.
I still haven't. I'm like, no, I'm still a virgin.
No, I'm a virgin.
Just need to tell you, absolutely no dick has been near me.
But I think I have always been quite, even like from a young age, I've been really interested in sex, I think. Just interested in it. And so I think then,
I mean, it is interesting. It is quite fascinating.
It's interesting, right? It's fucking fascinating. Mm. Yeah. I think I was quite sexually liberated, actually, at a young age with sex. Not that I was having a lot of sex or blah, 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 but I didn't feel, and it was all like, I was 100% performing in so many different ways. And I wasn't necessarily having or getting fingered all the fucking time or none of that. But I think I just felt quite free. I didn't feel, and I still don't feel shame around sex. And I think a lot of people, a lot of young women feel a lot of shame around sex and their sexuality and wanting sex or having sex or et cetera, et cetera.
I definitely think there are two ways that women can be shamed throughout sex. So you want to be in this kind of weird, basically it shows that women cannot fucking win. You want to be in this middle camp under the patriarchy's eyes. You want to be the person that slept with like one or two people, has had one like steady boyfriend, whatever. You want to be kind of neatly packaged. You know about sex, but not, you don't know too much about sex. You're still willing to get rammed in the ass. So you either get shamed if you are a virgin too long, or you get shamed if you are not a virgin too early. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
You either get shamed whether you have not had sex or you have had sex, basically, but you want to be in this little camp.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be a slut, you don't want to be a virgin. You just want to be very neat, like kind of girlfriend material.
Well, you kind of just need to not exist because nothing's going to work.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to work to make the patriarchy happy. And I also just think in life, nothing is going to work to make anybody happy, so you may as well just do what the fuck you want.
This is the biggest lesson in life, isn't it?
Everyone can say they've tried for a long time, being a people pleaser, tried to please everybody, never said no to anybody, did what everyone else wanted you to do.
Are you happy though?
And it's no one fucking liked you then, so yeah. You may as well just do what you want. You may as well be disliked for a good reason.
It's the most revolutionary lesson when you realize you cannot win.
Mm.
So drop out of the game. Drop the fuck out of the game.
There's no point trying to be palatable because you're always, your flavor might not be right for someone at the end of the day anyway.
Yeah, you could be a Kiwi. No one likes Kiwis though. their rank.
You could be the best fucking one, but they didn't like them.
But some people don't like kiwis.
I hate so many kiwis. One time when I was little, the first time I had a kiwi, and I had about 12 kiwis after that and I threw up.
They're not nice. Why would you eat 12 kiwis?
And I didn't have a kiwi for another 10 years because I loved them. I thought, oh my God, who's been hiding kiwis from me? They're amazing. And I went through so many of them. I was saying, Mum, peel me another one. Peel me another one. Really young. And I...
Mum, peel me.
And I smashed them out all over the fucking floor.
I think they are quite sickable.
They are quite sickable. My boyfriend had recently a phase where he got into kiwis and I was peeling them nonstop, like the fucking Madonna Hall complex that I am, like the kind of maternal raising him, he's not your son vibe. And I thought, he's going to be sick, but he wasn't. He held it
down.
You're
like, let's make this guy sick.
Took it like a champ. Can we talk about the connotations of being a slut and having a slut phase and asking for it?
Yes.
I think that goes back to school as well. A question we asked on the story, actually, which I thought was fucking genius. Not really, but kind of just quite an interesting concept, I think.
Mm.
And I know that lots of you agreed because you replied with exclamation marks. We said, growing up, my understanding of consent was more impacted by slut-shaming culture than I had realised. And everyone said, yeah, that's true. Because I think you're raised to think, yeah, we're asking for it.
Or just told to monitor your wardrobe and your behaviour in such a way. Oh, well, I'm going out, it's going to be dark this time, so maybe I shouldn't wear a skirt.
Yeah, this short skirt is an invitation to fuck me.
For rape.
Yeah.
My outfit is a direct invite for rape. How on earth are we not indoctrinated with the idea of asking for it? She's a slut. She... Or even like if you flirt with someone, they now have free access to your body.
Even just getting drunk. It's like that will be used against you in fucking court.
Or wearing red underwear.
She was so drunk. She was so drunk. She had red underwear. Let's parade it around the courtroom. She was asking for it.
She was asking for it because under her clothes, she was wearing red underwear. She's a slut. Of course it was going to happen to her. It's absolutely bonkers.
Do you think that that's changing, this discourse around asking for it? Do you think I mean, there's undeniably been more of a focus on consent, at least in the media, over the past few years, even with Hollywood, Me Too, etc. But often the fear that we have with the concept of it changing or going away is that it's not actually going away, it's just becoming more sophisticated and actually is still very damaging.
I don't know if it's getting better in that I can look around my conversations with my friends and with people in similar kind of liberal quote-unquote circles and, for example, our Instagram, which is a lovely, beautiful echo chamber, as we've said before.
Mm.
It seems, if you look at that it's getting better, but you only have to fucking stumble into right-wing TikTok or right-wing YouTube and you stumble across Tommy Robinson's stuff and EDL stuff and you see that, no, boys will be boys is still very much alive and kicking.
And almost, I'm scared now to raise my son in this world now.
Women coming forward with rape allegations ruins men's lives. It ruins men's lives. It takes away their opportunities. That is still a living discourse.
Yeah. I remember I put something on the feed that was like, she's not praying for your downfall, bro. She just reported you for sexual assault.
That's one of my favourite fucking quotes. She's not coming for you, she's not psycho, she's not, oh, I'm just going to ruin his life. No, you raped her. And realistically, you won't go to jail for it. Don't worry, you'll still have all your opportunities. You've just ruined her life. Don't you worry, don't you lose any sleep that your life will be ruined. No, hers will be ruined as a result of your actions, you cunt.
So what was your, did you, we had quite a rape scandal in our school when I was really young. It's actually quite an interesting story. Unfortunately, you know how sometimes you look back on school, well, we do all the time, you look back on school situations with the glory of hindsight and you can place it now as an adult and see it for what it was.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, with this situation, I actually really don't know what the fuck happened there. I don't feel like I've shed more light on it as an adult. I've got, obviously, a more holistic perspective, but yeah, I think it was still very blurry and still very, I don't know what actually went on there. But I'll tell it on my podcast.
It's just someone's life.
Basically, there was this couple, they'd been together, they were both a boy and a girl, they were both in the year above me, and they'd been together for about 4 months, maybe, maybe 6 months, maybe longer, which actually, maybe it was actually a bit longer. It might have even been a year. I would say 6 months to a year. But at school, that's like a fucking lifetime. They're a married couple, right?
Oh yeah, they're planning their baby's names.
It had come out that he had raped her.
Okay.
They'd broken up and the story was he raped her. I, at the time, was actually quite good friends with him in the way that, I mean, if you're around the same age as we are, it was kind of speaking on MSN with people all night, kind of,
yeah.
you're somehow talking to people that you don't, like, why would you know these people, blah, blah, blah. And I think also, maybe speaking on my own behalf, I know for a fact that being a young girl, a lot of the people that would add you on MSN and start talking to you were boys, especially boys in the older, like the year above and stuff.
Or kind of from different schools, like the boy in the school from the year above in the village next door, and you're like, oh, okay.
Defo. Village next door is a bit sweet, but yeah. We were kind of, I guess, friends in that way that when you're a young girl, boys message you and you talk all the time. You're kind of talking every day. Like, when I was younger, I'd speak to so many people every single day.
Oh my God, you're one of these people.
Were you not like that?
I knew that was a very much a thing. I never had a BlackBerry. No, and BBM was a huge, huge thing.
No, neither. I never had a BlackBerry.
Yeah, because I always thought I've always wanted to be involved in the BBM discourse.
I went straight to iPhone.
Yeah, I went straight to kind of a Toco Light.
Oh, wow.
Which no one had.
But even on MSN?
Yeah.
Were you up all night talking to people on MSN?
No, not up all night, but I knew that MSN was a big. I had MSN, I would do my chats, but I think it was lights off at sort of 5.
Whoa!
Well, lights off at maybe 6. But I don't think I was in on it, and I think my mum wouldn't allow it. I wanted to be that person that jumped on MSN all night. But I wasn't.
I honestly would be on MSN on a school night until like 1, 2 a.m.
Oh my God, I wouldn't have been able to keep my eyes open.
That was a big part of my thing, like being like, I'm doing cam to cam.
Oh, wow.
You would be on webcam chats with someone and I would also be talking to like 10 other people. So then that person would be like, what are you laughing at? Anywho, I was friends with a rapist, basically, is where the story returns.
You're nice, okay.
And one time I was walking home. And I think we were walking home together. He had been accused of rape. I was still friends with this guy.
Jesus.
The accompanying story was that actually they had had sex. Yeah, they had had sex. Her dad had found out. And she had said, no, it wasn't sex. He raped me.
Well, I see how this happens at school. I mean, it's such a school narrative. Yeah.
Exactly. And now as an adult, I'm like, yeah, believe that girl till the cows come home.
Well, we're so ingrained with patriarchal discourse of, we don't want to ruin his life, though. Like, we don't want to call him a rapist. That's a big accusation.
I would happily call him a rapist. Even if a man hasn't done something, I'm like, oh, he probably did.
It's like, actually, a woman gains nothing from coming forward. If anything, she loses her reputation, she loses her credibility, all her friends turn against her.
Remember when we discussed rape fantasies?
Yeah.
And almost the as we said earlier about women being raised with a lot of shame around sex.
Yeah.
And I think this is over 10 years ago. This is a long time ago. And the discourse around believe her didn't exist. And the discourse around rape and in schools was very, very different.
Mm.
And also the discourse with kids having sex with people that they were in a relationship with at school was different. Everything was different. It was a long time ago and a lot has changed in that time.
Also, how the fuck in your small, small life, you've just literally hopped out of a womb. How on earth are you able to unpack sort of a history of consent
to anything
in that one instance where it's a girl and a boy and you're like, what's happening? It's too much for children to handle, too much for adults to handle.
I mean, I never ever spoke to him about it. I remember specifically never said to him, did this happen, like blah blah blah. Didn't ask, just kind of knew that he was kind of someone that wanted to be in my business and was kind of around. God. Basically, because I think I was filling my time with a lot of just kind of people. It was just kind of like quite a social life. One time I specifically was walking home and he was there too. And this was kind of, I don't know, maybe 3 months after, I don't know, the allegations or whatever. And I remember it being quite a buzz because it was quite a buzz in the school. I remember walking home with him one day and some guy pulled up on a motorbike and started beating the fuck out of him.
And you were there?
I was there. I was just standing there like, what the fuck? Which is why it's really annoying, because I'm like, I'm 24, I still have no understanding what the fuck was going on then.
What you witnessed?
Like, what actually happened, I don't know. And like, I know he went on to live his life, obviously. In my memory, they were together for a decent amount of time. But how fascinating.
friends with a rapist. Never would have thought it, would you guys? No, I'm joking. And I actually know that one of my good friends, growing up, one of my good friends, we don't speak anymore, but I have fond feelings towards her, goes without saying.
Goes without saying.
Was in a relationship with him when we were about 21. Yeah. So I don't know. I would really like to think that there was no truth in that. But listen, rapists are everywhere.
Every woman knows a rapist, but no man seems to know any man that has raped anyone or has not raped, or they have not raped anyone themselves. So
exactly. Everyone knows someone who's been sexually assaulted, but where are the men saying, oh yeah, my mate sexually assaulted someone?
This is why we said, like, you saying you were obsessed with sex from a young age. Obsessed with sex. Fascinated. You didn't
never
say that.
Said.
You never said that. But I think I am quite obsessed with the politics of sex. Like, I think it's so fascinating.
I think it doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, it is a fascinating, fascinating world. Like,
sex rules the world.
It makes the world go round.
Wouldn't be here without it, personally.
The politics of it, of like, oh, it's so complex. And that's why an hour is not enough time to break down the concept of a slut. It's like, we really do need to create a whole Netflix TV show about it or something, because it's just not enough.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's not only on a societal level, not only about the patriarchy, but actually about you as an individual.
Yeah.
Your own mental health, what you've been up to this week, and whether or not you'll have sex tonight is all coming down to your own stability.
It's nothing about, oh, it's that time in your life, you're single, you've just been broken up with, time for you to enter a slut phase. It's not about that. It's about how you feel.
Or it's like, if you're not having sex at the moment, oh, you're practicing abstinence.
Yeah.
It's like, Jesus, I'm literally just living my life.
I'm living my life.
Why don't we just let these women live for a sec?
Honestly, it's get your filthy paws off my silky drawers.
Silky stinking drawers. Maybe not stinking drawers.
But... would you pull that crap with a net? It's so... yeah, it's just get the fuck away from my sexual history. You'd have no place being here.
I think looking back as well, like, if maybe some of you, I know that some of you are still in school, and school now is a very different place to what it was then, but I think we can all look back on situations with a new, yeah, with the glory of hindsight, and think, what the fuck was going on there?
With our newfound empowerment and education, and just think, God, that was fucked.
Yeah.
We still need to do our episode on school. We've been promising and promising this, and people have been messaging.
Yeah.
And believe me, you've been messaging about the school episode.
Yeah.
And we will come around to it, because school's fucked.
School is fucked.
School is fucked.
It's
great to get your educational, but that is not what that place was doing.
School is fucked.
The last thing that thing was about learning, in my eyes.
Bottom line is, school is fucked.
It's fucked. I just remembered we haven't done a homework.
Oh yeah, I thought of something during the episode. I thought, is it too much to say do something quite sexually liberating this week? Or is that a bit much?
No.
You don't have to send us videos or pics. We'll just trust that it happened, but...
buy a fucking... one of those... oh my God. You know those they're like sex toys, but it's not like a fucking vibrator. The ones that are like a clit sucker.
It's a sucky thing.
Buy one of those.
I don't think... you know what? Funny you should say that. When I see them, I think, not for me, but I imagine Seffi would be into that.
Well, I always see them, and Lily Allen has just launched a line of them. I always see them online, and I think those look fascinating.
Well, I already know your homework then.
Can you believe my queen, Lily Allen? No, they're like 90 quid.
That's how you're doing the work.
There's so much.
Come on.
I like the idea because it's weird. It's like, what? Air technology, they say. But okay, let's all do something sexually liberating. We'll all push ourselves. We'll see if I...
sexually liberating. Fucking hell. I need to get back on MSNs. Flash the boys in the air above.
And that doesn't mean... go and fuck a scrappy dappy dude. That is not sexually liberating, unless you really love a scrap.
No, I'm not telling you to text your fucking ex who doesn't deserve you.
This isn't fuck your ex. No, this is do something sexually liberating.
Liberating.
My God, I cannot wait.
I think get quite creative with that. I wonder what they'll do.
Yeah, like, I want to... yeah, this is kind of a mission, this one.
Even, like, draw a naked self-portrait.
That sounds so stunning. Take a nude.
Yeah. I'm obsessed. Okay, I can't wait. Right, let's go.
Bye.
Leave us a review, take nudes. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.